Two verses this morning. First Samuel chapter number 10. First Samuel chapter number 10. This is going to go a little different direction than what I thought. Talked to Brother Critic a little bit last night. Preached this message quite a few times. And I try to preach some form or version, I guess, of it every year. At least once a year, if not maybe twice. Because I feel like it's that important. First Samuel chapter number 10. Some of you probably got a little note in your Bible. Right there by First Samuel chapter number 10, where I'm going. You're going to say, Brother Eddie, you preached this in 1970-something. Whatever. Well, I'm fixing to preach again. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, I want you to look with me at verse number 9. And then we're going to Mark chapter number 5, 1 Samuel chapter number 10. If y'all better say amen.
Amen.
This is talking about King Saul. The Bible said, it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him, say the next two words with me. God gave him what? They just started doing heart transplants just a few years ago. But yet we have it here maybe, I don't know how many, 4,000 years ago? How long ago was that?
Amen.
God gave a man, the Bible said, another heart. Another heart. In Mark chapter number 5, you can turn there if you want, you don't have to. God gives Saul another heart. In Mark chapter number 5, this is after Mark chapter 4, of course, and the storm on the sea where Jesus calms the storm, and the disciples and Jesus come to the shore, the Gadarene shore, and there they meet the man, Brother Todd, who is full of devils. Matter of fact, he said his name is Legion, for we are many. That's not the man talking, that's the demons talking. And by the way, I still believe they're real. I don't think that was just something during Bible time. I think demons are still a real problem in our world and in our country. But in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 15, after this guy has an encounter with Jesus, this has always been one of my favorite stories. One of my friends, I hadn't seen him in years, but Brother Gary Duty, Brother Freddie, you remember Brother Gary? He had the gospel group called Sound Doctrine. He wrote a song years ago about this scripture. And the gist of the song is, while these disciples and Jesus are in this boat in a storm out on the Gadarene Sea, that this wild man full of the devil, that they couldn't even bind up with chains, who was naked and cutting himself with stones, who had his dwelling, the Bible said, among the tombs. Maybe every time the lightning flashed out on that sea, he could see that boat just about to go down. Somewhere in the middle of that storm, Brother Joe, he saw somebody on that boat stand up and say, peace be still. And the wind and the sea obeyed him. In Mark chapter number 5, when Jesus and the disciples get to the shore, the Bible said immediately there met him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not burying my loved ones on the beach. The Bible said he has his dwelling among the tombs. He lives up in the hill country. But yet, when the boat gets to shore, he's waiting on Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Could it be that while he's looking out over that troubled sea and he sees that man calm that storm, could it be that he thinks, maybe this man can calm the storm that's going on in my heart and in my mind.
Amen.
In Mark chapter number 5, we know the story, most of you, I hope you do anyway, but in verse number 15, the Bible said, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, watch this, sitting and clothed and in his, what's that with me?
Right.
right mind, and they were afraid.
Yeah, right.
We just celebrated another new year. I cannot believe it's 2019.
Amen, sir.
And I cannot believe the people I talked to on the phone just this week who have made New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Brother David Connell, wherever he's at, he said he made a New Year's revolution. Whatever that is. He said he's going to be nice to Brother Stacy. I don't think that'll last very long. He's failed already, somebody said. Brother Charles, I've heard people talk about getting in shape. I've heard people talk about losing weight. I've even heard people talk about quitting smoking, dipping snuff. I've had people call me and tell me, pray for me. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to change something about themselves. They're trying to make a change in their life. Probably the greatest failure in the world is New Year's resolution. How many of you have ever made one and not kept it?
Yeah.
The rest of you lying. Somebody said, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. Some of y'all have read Genesis so many times in front of you. And that's smart as you ever got. Amen. And we have good intentions. But our thought, Brother Charles, is that I'm going to change me. I'm going to change a habit. I'm going to change maybe the way I've been thinking or the way I've been acting.
Yeah.
I've seen more marriages destroyed over a wife trying to change her husband. Or a husband trying to change his wife. One of the most dangerous things spiritually I've ever witnessed in a marriage, Brother Charles, is where one gets on fire for God and the other one ain't quite there yet. I could name names this morning and tell you about some of the godliest people I know.
Yes, sir.
And when they first got in church, they struggled. Because one was really whole hog and on fire for God, the other one wasn't.
Uh-huh.
The husband got really right with God, and all the wife really wanted him to do was quit drinking. She didn't really want him to go crazy and go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation and soul winning and street preaching. She didn't want him to do all that. She just wanted to quit drinking. But she got more spark involved. And then you've got one telling the other, bless God, you better line up. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. You don't fix nothing.
Amen.
Sir, you don't fix your wife. I've had teenage girls come in with some, I hate to use the term, it shows my age, but some hippie looking boy will say, well, Brother Eddie, I'm going to change you. No, you're not. You're not going to change her. Sir, you're not going to change her. You'd save yourself a lot of trouble in your home, in your marriage, in your life, in your own personal self if you quit trying to change them or even you. The Bible said God gave Saul a new heart. The people, when they saw the demonic man sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind,
amen.
It was Christ who made the change.
Yes,
for just a second, and I won't preach but a minute this morning, just a simple thought. Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. God changes people.
That's right.
God changes people. How much time have you wasted trying to change somebody's mind about how they believe? About what they think is right about this or what is right about that?
Yes, sir.
Cut your television on. CNN is never going to convince Fox.
No, that's right.
Fox is never going to convince CNN. You say you're being political. No, I'm just saying that's totally opposites right there. That it's never going to fix one another. And until we get to a place in this country where we realize it is not us that changes people or us that changes things, it is God that has the power to change.
Amen.
If God could give Saul a new heart, Brother Charles, God can give me a new heart. If God can give me a new heart, God can give you a new heart. I could struggle with drugs. I could struggle with alcohol or tobacco or whatever the thing may be. Oh, but if God steps in, I don't need a seven-step program. I don't need an AA or a this or that. All I need is the power of God to step in and say, hey, I got it.
Amen.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was Brother Warren. I may be wrong. Vices are a hard thing to get rid of. Can I get a witness right here? I believe it was Brother Warren who told me that years ago that he'd smoke like a pack of cigarettes a day, something like that. Three packs a day? What'd you do in your spare time? Three packs a day. That's some smoking right there for you. How do you fill a pack? 20? Wow. Anyway, you do the math. That's a bunch of smoke. And he said God took it.
Amen.
Wasn't that you told me that story? God took it. No withdrawal, no nothing. God took it. Brother Rusty, is that you too? I had another man tell me that he drank a 24-pack of beer every day. Every single day. Every day of his life. Said one night at church, God convicted him. He's a church member. A good man. A man who's been a blessing to me. And he said, God said, that's it. And it was gone. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to say it one more time. God changes people. Our problem, I think, Brother Charles, is that we get in the middle of it. And we're trying to help God fix this, and we're trying to help God fix that. But oh God, if you could just do him like this or do her like that, God, hey man, all we're doing is messing up the plan. We could ever just really back off and say, okay, God. And it might be kind of simple to do if I'm trying to fix Robbie. It's pretty easy for me to say, okay, God, there he is. I'm done. I'm done pleading. I'm done arguing. I'm done reasoning. You take care of it.
Amen.
But when it's me.
That's right.
It's a whole different ball game to walk away from.
Right. Amen.
And just simply say, okay, God, here I am.
Yes.
Change.
Yeah.
Amen.
Change.
Amen.
Change my faith. Yes. Change. You know what the Bible said? It said the Lord will give you the desire to God.
Right.
My problem is what I desire.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
It's a little different for a Sunday morning, I know.
That's right.
Never preached this message on a Sunday morning. Okay. I ain't preaching this message. I ain't even looking at the notes. I'm just telling you, we don't have the power to change our faith.
Right. Right.
Amen.
So we might as well give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quit praying for real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And start praying for God's power.
Amen.
Jesus said, without me,
amen,
you can
amen
do nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, I'm preaching to your preacher this morning more than you know. Without me, he can do nothing.
Amen.
Don't raise your hand if I have any other struggles. Son.
Sure.
I wonder how many of you look at the ladies in our ladies' home and you're convicted. You look at them and go, wow, they beat that.
Amen.
And I'm struggling with this.
Amen.
They got over this, and I can't get over that. Here's all I'm trying to say. We got to get me and you out of the way.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we got to get God right up in the middle of this thing. I'm talking to a marriage this morning that you're not going to make it if you don't put the butt in your head together. If you don't quit trying to fix him and you don't quit trying to fix her. So you get to a place where you get on your face and say, God, fix us.
Amen.
Fix me, and then if you can do anything with her, go ahead. Fix me, and if you can do anything with him, God, help yourself.
Amen.
I've tried for 20 years. Amen. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We've got to realize it's not within our power. How many of you say, if you're going to heaven, you die?
Amen.
How much effort did you put into that?
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Just a thought this morning. Oh, listen, I got an outline with points and everything. How much effort did you put into that? Is that something you had to work real hard for? What'd you do? Come on, somebody ask. Tell me, what'd you do? You just ask him, and you believe.
Yeah.
Or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
You believe in your heart with groanings and confess with your what? Your mouth.
Amen.
We trust in him for the biggest thing ever.
Right.
That's bigger than your marriage. It's bigger than an addiction. It's bigger than a bad attitude. It's bigger than a foul spirit. It's bigger than anything you can imagine. Being lost and on your way to a place called heaven.
Amen.
How long did it take? Somebody tell me, how long did it take to get saved? How long? Not like that? Was it even quicker, maybe, Brother Josh? I've heard, I don't know how many testimonies, Brother Bob, people talking about how they felt like they were saved before they ever even got to the altar.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's when something changed inside here, and something inside here gave that will over to the will of God and said, I can't, but you can.
Amen.
Let's say it one more time. God changed it.
Amen.
Oh, there's a lot of people I'd like to change. How about you?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. There's a lot of them I'd like to straighten out and fix.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The worst ones standing right here. And I just came to the realization. I've been saved 35 years. And I still can't fix me.
Amen.
Power of positive thinking. Yeah, right.
Amen.
We've got to get to where we come to a place where we realize the power of God. I wonder how many times this demonic man's family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
How many times have you tried?
Amen.
He had a family because the Lord told him to go back and tell them. He had people who loved him and cared about him. But you know what? Brother Bob, all they could do for how many times they tried. And then one day they said, "Tell them all we know that." Lock him up there in the graveyard. Just put him away. Wonder how many of you ladies would be honest and say, "I heard my mama say, we spent all we got. We can't do it anymore. It's as far as we go." I'm just at a place this morning where I realize I can't even have a kid. He's bigger than anything we got.
Yes, Lord.
There's not a problem so big that he cannot solve.
Amen.
But we've got to surrender to that. We've got to get outside of ourselves a little bit. I'm going to say it again. God changes people. Maybe you have a little problem trying to change yourself. Maybe you're struggling with trying to change somebody else. Maybe it's time to put your hands up.
All right.
Remember hearing a story growing up. Old preacher illustration. I've heard 15 different preachers tell it. I don't know which one really witnessed it. May have happened over and over. I don't know. They talk about the little old lady. She bought a pair of dress shoes. And she set them out for her husband every Saturday. He'd come home drunk week after week after week. And she'd set them dress shoes out there every week, hoping maybe today. Maybe today. Year after year after year, she didn't fuss. She didn't threaten to leave him, none of that stuff. She just kept putting shoes out. One Sunday morning, there's an old song that said, I believe, she was afraid. She raised up her head and she saw them two shoes coming down the aisle. Just for Christ, as you say. All I'm trying to say is one, I guess, is get out of the way. Get out of your own way. I had a young man tell me last week, he said, I wanted to sign up on that sheet. I wanted to. You just need to get out of your own way. Brother Rusty got up here and testified a while ago about how basically he said, I'm afraid I'm going to sound like a broken record. Is that? How many of us can say the same thing?
Say it. Yeah.
You just got to get out of your own thinking way.
Amen. Amen.
You just got to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
And surrender to the fact that you can't fix this. You say, preacher, what are you after? I really don't know. You're going to have to surrender to the fact it's bigger than you.
Amen.
Your marriage problem is bigger than you.
All
right. Look how many years it took you to wreck it. You're not going to fix it.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, sir. Sure.
Something comes to part of your life, a habit, or whatever the case may be. And you do it for years and years and years and years and years. You're not going to walk away from it.
That's right.
You're not just going to get up and say, okay, I'm done. It's bigger than you. say is, some of us need to get on this altar together this morning and say, we just gonna get out of God's way. I'm tired of interfering. I'm trying to fix him. I'm tired of fixing, trying to fix her. I'm tired of trying to fix me. Saul wasn't even a good person. God gave him a new heart.
Yes.
That man in that graveyard, Brother Joe, he had a legion. A legion. How many is that, Brother Joe? It's a pile of men. You study Greek, that's what it means, a boat. A legion. He had, I mean, literally hundreds of demons possessing his body. And the Lord changed him.
Yeah. Amen.
One night as a 19-year-old boy, I was lost and on my way to hell. I went to the preacher's house at 3 o'clock in the morning. He came to the door and said, "Son, what's the matter?" I said, I'm going to hell. He said, "Not tonight." We bowed down under a pine tree in his front yard. And somewhere in the middle of bowing and praying, something happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Forward. Just like that. You know why? Because I knew I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I knew my mama couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I knew that preacher couldn't do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Something inside me said God can do it.
Amen.
That's right.
And if he can do that,
yes,
he can do whatever it is you're doing with it. Let's stay right there. Brother Todd, we're going to go. Maybe the sorriest message I've ever preached in my life. It was short my heart as well. People already in this office this morning. Somebody needs to come and say, "Lord, help me to get out of the way." Kind of explains a lot of them old sayings, don't it? Shooting yourself in the foot. Stuck my foot in my mouth. Or how we get in our own way. I don't even know how to give the invitation at this point. Except to say, let's just mind the Lord. Let's bow our heads together all over. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name.